In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On October 7, 1571, the most important naval battle of history raged. The Ottoman Turks were about to gain access to the primary portal of Europe. If the Ottoman Turks won this 16th century battle, Europe might fall to the Muslims. If Europe won, she would remain Catholic. Pope Pius V saw that the future of Christendom hung by a thread, so he asked all of Europe to beg Our Lady through the Rosary to save Europe from the invading Turks. Mary convinced God at this moment to change the tide of history. And on this day, the Holy League destroyed the Ottoman Turks in the Mediterranean, not far from Greece. Saturday, as I said before Mass, is the feast of Our Lady of Victory, because on that day in 1571, the Holy League defeated the Ottoman Turks at this glorious Battle of Lepanto, perhaps the most important naval battle ever to determine the future of Western history. Pope Pius V changed the external feast of Our Lady of Victory to the first Sunday of October, which is today, so that Catholics in all future ages could worship God and honor Our Lady of Victory, even simple Sunday Mass-goers. It was that important of a battle. This year on October 7th, there will be 1 million Catholics along the border in Poland to pray the Rosary and commemorate the triumph of Christianity over Islam 500 years ago in Europe. They will pray the Rosary again. But they are doing it against the same attack of Islam that threatens Europe today. How serious of a threat is this today? About a year ago, I texted a military friend how I worried about Muslims, ISIS in particular, invading the West. He texted me back something I'll never forget. I don't fear ISIS as much as the soulless humanists who rule our country and have a lock on the cultural conversation. I don't fear ISIS as much as the soulless humanists who rule our country and have a lock on the cultural conversation. The man who texted me this was a captain of the Navy SEALs who's been on such missions as the recovery of one of his fallen brothers that you saw in the movie Lone Survivor. Not saying this for name dropping so much as you understanding that this sermon that you're about to hear is not anti-patriotic, rather so that you can understand that our greatest threat comes not from without, but from within. It is abortion, and it will only be defeated by the same thing that Pius V saw 500 years ago. Two disclaimers on this sermon before we jump into it. The first is, I'm going to try to make nothing graphic. It will be intense, but not graphic because there's children here. The hardest part to hear will be at the beginning. You'll get used to sort of how I give sermons, which is usually to start with the bad news and move to the good news, and that's what I'm going to be doing today. Secondly, to women who have had abortions, I want you to understand that you play an extremely important role in the mission I'm going to propose in this sermon. Tens of thousands of women have found total forgiveness from Jesus Christ in baptism and or confession after their abortions. The one thing greater than your sins, than my sins, anyone's sins, is the love of the Father transmitted through the sacraments. First, baptism. Secondly, confession of your sins followed baptism. St. Paul, of all people, knew this. Remember, the Apostle Paul killed Christians, and then God turned Christianity into the Apostle's number one mission. So also for you, if you have such sins in your past, man and woman alike, since men are just as much, if not more, responsible, God may show his mercy to the world by asking you to join in this interior mission that I'm going to propose in this sermon to help end abortion in this country. As I said, the first part of this is a little bit hard to hear. A layman, I can't remember if he was the founder or one of the professors at Christendom College, but someone who went to Christendom was telling me in one of their late night conversations with either this professor or founder, someone out in Virginia, he said, you know, if you were standing on a sidewalk and there was a pregnant woman, 9 months pregnant, and then 5 meters in front of her was another pregnant woman, 9 months pregnant, and in front of her another pregnant woman, 9 months pregnant, 5 meters in front of her, another pregnant woman, and a man, sorry again for the visual, but it won't be this bad the rest of it, comes and hits her in the abdomen with a bat, and then goes to the next woman and hits her in the abdomen with a bat, and then goes to the next one and hits her in the abdomen with a bat. What man in this country would fail to stop that man? Or what if these were three-year-old toddlers, a three-year-old, or maybe we could say a five-year-old boy, and then 10 meters in front of him, a five-year-old girl, and 10 meters in front of him, a five-year-old boy. And we see that same villain coming and bopping him over the head with a bat, and going to the next one and bopping him over the head with a bat. What man in this country would refrain from stopping such a criminal? I'm not proposing physical weapons. I'm not proposing physical violence in the pro-life movement at all. That would only hurt the pro-life movement. Rather, when you think of the gravity of what we're facing with that analogy, I propose a totally different solution that I know will work. What I'm going to propose in this sermon is another weapon, not a physical weapon, that Satan will fear much more than anything physical. It will be the guaranteed spiritual weapon in part two of this sermon, if you want to play a part in this mission of changing this country, to alleviate it from the weapons of spiritual darkness that threaten it from within, not from without. Let's remember, as we look at this topic of abortion, that St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that an unjust law is not a binding law. Therefore, there is no valid law in this country permitting pre-born child murder. That means only one thing. There's illegal child killing happening in this city that very few Catholics are doing anything about. There's illegal child killing happening in this city that very few Catholics are doing anything about. Do any pro-lifers here in this basilica really realize what abortion is? About a month ago, I got an email from a pregnancy crisis center in Colorado saying that it was going to have a fundraiser, and the draw for the fundraiser was going to be a pro-life comedian. Would we do this if we put abortion on par with infanticide? Would we think part of stopping infanticide would be to have an infanticide comedian? Would Jews in 1950 in, say, Miami or New York City raise money for Holocaust survivors by having a Holocaust comedian? Of course not. I'm not saying this to rip on that crisis pregnancy center, but to show that we pro-lifers really don't put abortion on par with child killing, except at an intellectual and political level. Let me tell you how real this is. In my paramedic rounds, I saw something so beautiful. It was a surgery on an unborn baby at Swedish Hospital in Englewood, Colorado. That baby looked as real as any baby I've held for baptism as a priest. In fact, any mom here who's grown new life inside her once, twice, five times, eight times, 10 times, knows it's not part of her body, but a new individual. Individuals that moms already get to know before birth in a way that their fathers don't know until they hold that child. But then I have to ask, why do the mothers here, and even a pro-life priest like me, why do we have a sadder reaction to hear of a mother killing her three-year-old toddler in a bathtub than, just another abortion? I really don't know, but something is stopping us pro-lifers from taking this as seriously as we should. I mean, imagine this. Imagine if the bishop of any large city on the East Coast heard of an organized group that was taking hostage of numerous Catholic grade schools in his diocese. What would happen? The entire city of Catholics would immobilize in prayer vigils and fasts and nonstop penance, and there would be crying out in public media and social media, and maybe even bishops' permission for certain men to move beyond law enforcement measures in order to rescue threatened children in that school or schools. But nobody even thinks about that for the unborn. No, instead, we have a fundraiser with a pro-life comedian. There's nobody here, including me, who doesn't have a more visceral reaction to killing a three-year-old child than an unborn baby, except Mary and Jesus. They do. We Americans in this country, through lust and our lukewarmness here and our silence here, we are slaughtering children. And I'm so tired of people saying, well, we live in a pretty good country. Yes, we have our problems, but all in all, we're pretty good. Look, ancient Rome, who at the height of their killing Christians once slaughtered 17,000 men and women in 1 month. 17,000 Christians in early Rome slaughtered by the country for being Christian. They never got to killing 4,000 children in a day like our surgicals in the United States. the worst Viking warrior in history, never killed a fraction of what a single abortion doctor kills in this country. The priest who taught me sidewalk counseling, Monsignor Philip Riley in New York City. The abortion doctor complained that he trained the whole world there in Brooklyn. By the time it finally closed, due to the prayers and fastings of Monsignor Philip Riley, there were 250,000 abortions at that one center in Brooklyn. That's 250,000 children dead in one place. The only thing that's killed as many people as abortion is communism, and that is only because most of the deaths in communism were abortion. By the way, the oral contraceptive pill is estimated to kill 50 million embryos a year worldwide. That's not even talking RU46 and the morning after pill. That's just the normal pill that most of the women in this country, most of the Catholic women in this country on, but we don't even have time to talk about this. But why do we do this? Why are women on that pill? Why are people taking the morning after the pill? Why are people getting surgical abortions up to 9 months after gestation in this country? The answer is this. Many women who have abortions describe that when they entered the abortion clinic, they felt a spiritual darkness and a spiritual blindness, almost being under a spell. This spiritual darkness and a spiritual blindness seems to grasp even us pro-lifers under this spell by blinding us to the reality of what we're discussing. For we take abortion as a political issue instead of a medical issue. No, you don't have to believe in God to know it's wrong to put a scissors in a baby's head. But when rational atheists come to irrational conclusions, we know that there's a preternatural hold on the minds of those in this country, this attack from within, because only Satan could make us this stupid. When pro-life Catholics vote pro-life and are afraid to demand the full and immediate stop to preborn child killing, we know that there's a diabolical hold on this country, even us pro-lifers, and that we Christians are currently more fearful than those soulless humanists who stop at nothing to keep abortion going in this country. And so now I want to get to the good news of this sermon, the rosary. How important is the rosary? There are a lot of different things you could do, fasting, whipping, staying on your knees, all-night vigils. Yes, and those are very, very good. We need penance to end this scourge on this country. But I want to tell you a story that St. Louis de Montfort tells. He says this in The Secret of the Rosary. Quote, whatever you do, do not be like a certain pious but self-willed lady in Rome, so often referred to by speakers on the rosary. She was so devout and fervent that she put to shame by her holy life even the strictest religious in the church. Having decided to ask St. Dominic's advice about her spiritual life, she made her confession to him. For penance, he gave her one rosary to say and advised her to say it every day. She excused herself, saying that she had regular exercises, that she made the Stations of Rome every day, that she wore sackcloth as well as a hair shirt, that she gave herself the discipline, that's whipping yourself, several times a week, that she often fasted and did other penances. St. Dominic urged her over and over again to take his advice and say the rosary, but she would not hear of it. She left the confession, horrified at the methods of this new spiritual director who had tried so hard to persuade her to take up a devotion for which she had no taste. Later on, when she was at prayer, she fell into ecstasy and had a vision of her soul appearing before the Supreme Judge. St. Michael put all her penances and to her prayers on one side of the scale and all her sins and imperfections on the other. The tray of her good works were greatly outweighed by that of her sins and imperfections. Filled with alarm, she cried out for mercy, imploring the help of the Blessed Virgin, her gracious advocate, who took the one and only rosary she had set for her penance and dropped it on the tray of her good works. This one rosary was so heavy that it weighed more than all her sins as well as her good works. Our Lady then reproved her for having refused to follow the counsel of her servant Dominic and for not saying the rosary every day, close quote. We now see that no penance, from this quote, we now see that no penance is as powerful as getting everyone to pray the rosary. I have a friend named Tim Jackson who's a pro-life politician in Europe, in Ireland. We walked crossroads together where you walk across the country for the end of abortion, praying the rosary. And he actually did a hunger strike in Dublin last week. He showed up to the Dáil, which is the legislative house in Dublin, and he did a full hunger strike for a week, eating nothing, just drinking water. Just so one person in there would watch an abortion on TV. And it didn't work. His fasting all week, I was sure that that much penance would crack through the hard heart of whoever was in that center in Dublin. And it didn't work. Again, we do need to fast for the end of abortion. But this also opened my eyes once more to see only the rosary will end this. And I know Tim believes in the rosary as much as me, so I'm not ripping on him. I've never done anything that heroic as him. Because here's the thing. Besides the Holy Mass, and if please God, he gives us pro-life martyrs. Besides the Holy Mass and pro-life martyrs, the rosary is the number one thing to get this diabolical disorientation dissipated from our minds. Even us pro-lifers who fail to see the real gravity of abortion. For we need this lifted not only from pro-abortion minds, but even our lukewarm pro-life minds. If we could get this parish or this nation praying the rosary, it would be the most powerful thing possible. And here's why. Padre Pio called the rosary not a weapon, he called it the weapon. Padre Pio said the rosary was the weapon. I often hear people say they do a decade a day, but they don't have time for all five decades. As I'm getting to know the staff here at the Basilica, I had dinner with one of the men on staff here, and he was adopted, and he was raised by a single Baptist mother in New York City. He gave me permission to share this story. His single mom who raised him and the others would do an hour with her Bible, good Baptist, in the morning, and made him join her for an hour at night. And this staff worker here at the Basilica told me that she had to do everything. She had to mow the lawn. She was taking care of all these kids. And somehow, she still made the time for an hour of Bible reading in the morning and an hour of Bible reading with him in the evening. 2 hours for a very busy single mom raising several children, including someone she adopted here. 2 hours of prayer. If Catholics did that with the rosary, and you should read the Bible too, so I'm not saying supplant your scripture reading with only the rosary, but since this is a sermon on the rosary, entertain me for a second. 2 hours? You could do 30 decades of the rosary in 2 hours. If you cared as much for prayer as that Baptist single mother in New York City. If we cared as much for God and souls as a non-Catholic. So don't tell me you don't have the time anymore. If we as an intense parish of believers cannot do 5 decades a day, then we care more about ourselves than innocent children. Men, lead your families in praying the rosary. I look at how many men love these movies of adventure, of triumph, of even dying, Braveheart, Spider-Man, Band of Brothers. Every man longs for that adventure, and yet even us good Catholics fail to realize that the real threat is Satan, and that the number one weapon is the rosary, and that if we step up to plate, we will be written into history as those men who fought under Pius V for the salvation of Europe, but this time for the salvation of this country. We have to beg God to stop this child killing, because only Mary can convince God to stop this killing. Why? Because we don't deserve it anymore. We don't deserve the end of it. But Mary can convince God. And that's why the rosary is our only chance at this. And that is why I'm convinced that if Christ does not first return in glory, the rosary will triumph over abortion in the United States of America. The rosary will triumph over abortion in the United States of America. So please make this family daily rosary more important than Facebook, more important than sports, more important than musical instruments, more important than even eating on time. I'm not even asking you to fast. But if you have to delay dinner for 20 minutes, if you have to get up 20 minutes earlier, get the 5 decades in for the end of this Holocaust in this country. And yes, this can be done. Maybe a year ago, some of you saw how many of those Christian children were being kidnapped by ISIS's sister group in Nigeria called Boko Haram. Boko Haram was kidnapping dozens of little Christian kids in Nigeria. And a bishop was so lost as to what to do. And he was in deep prayer before the Blessed Sacrament one night, and Jesus appeared to him. Jesus appeared to this Nigerian bishop, and he handed him a sword to fight Boko Haram. And then when he grabbed that sword in his hand, it turned into a rosary. And he knew immediately the way to defeat the Muslims who were kidnapping and killing Christians in Nigeria was going to be not just for him to pray the rosary, but to get the whole country of Nigerians to pray the Holy Rosary. Not to take up arms against Boko Haram, though it would be justified, but to take up the most powerful weapon. Why? Because Satan was behind that. And they did. The Catholics of that country of Nigeria started praying the rosary. And Boko Haram was defeated, for the most part. That is a bishop who takes seriously the threat against the children of his country. And I urge you to do the same, because I believe Our Lady will triumph if we pick up that weapon and fight for the future of this country. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.